In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the gift it was to receive you in the Eucharist this morning. Thank you for bringing us here to this camp. Help us to continue to open our hearts to receive your love. And Lord, I just, this morning, as we come perhaps maybe tired or, you know, maybe not wanting to pay full attention to this talk, help us to just, Lord, in your name, in the name of Jesus, I cast out the spirit of tiredness, of fatigue, of any distractions that cause us not to be attentive to you and what you need to speak to us. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you bring peace into this room, into our hearts, into our minds, and that we continue to live a life of praise to which you have called us to. Bless the words that I speak this morning. Lord, help me to speak on your behalf. I pray for all those here, and help us to continue to really just be open and to receive as you have so gracefully wanting to give us gifts. And we ask this through Mama Mary as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, so like she said, my name is Ann Sweeney, and I'm actually from Washington State. So the Lord has brought me to Ohio for school. I go to school at Franciscan. Like they said, I am now a senior studying theology and minoring in human life studies. So it is a fun time. Real hard studying is, it hurts my head, but it's good. So fun facts about me, because I feel like when someone comes and speaks, I feel like it's good to know a little bit about them, because like, who am I to say anything if you don't know me? So important things. Yes, I'm from Washington State. I love the outdoors. I love hiking. It is really hard to be in Ohio because there's not a lot of mountains. When I came out to school here, I was like, it's so flat. But my friends keep telling me, oh, look, there's a mountain. I'm like, that's a foothill. That is a foothill. That's me. And yeah, I love hiking. I love kayaking, anything outdoors. I'm your girl. Arts and crafts, coffee dates are good. Love to have long conversations with any friend, to talk about truly anything. And so with that, like I said, go to Franciscan, and I got the opportunity to work at Franciscan over the summer. So I'm a programming assistant with the conferences, and that's a programming assistant is just a fancy word for speaker hospitality. And so that means that during the conferences, the speakers who come in, I am in charge of getting them their hotels, like what their schedules are, what talks they're giving. And so I'm basically like their bodyguard. And so, like I said, like this past weekend, I was hanging out with Matt Frad. And then 2 weeks ago, do y'all know Father Mike Smits? Yeah. What a man. It's so funny because I've like only watched a couple of his videos online, and then they're like, oh yeah, and like you're in charge of him this weekend. I was like, oh shoot, because everyone loves him and they want nothing more than to talk with him and to meet with him, which is so valid, because just like when I got to meet him for the first time, I was like, wow, what a man. He's so down to earth, and he's just like your dad. It's just having a conversation with your dad. So with that, it was a Saturday, and he was giving a talk, and we were done with Mass. He was coming down from the little stage we have, and I was like, all right, this is my job. I have very few jobs, but my one job is to get any speaker down to the meet and greets, right? And so in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to, like, there's Father. He's coming down the stage. Great. I'm going to get him to the J.C. Williams Center, which is one of our, like, buildings at Franciscan. I'm going to get him there. He's going to go to this meet and greet. So I'm like, okay, great. He's coming down the stairs. Great. And then I, like, turn my back for 1 second, and there's this huge mob with him. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, why? Again, why do I have this job? I literally, like, I'm no bodyguard. Like, I have little, like, noodles as my arms. Like, I'm not strong at all. And so, like, these people were crowding him, and he was just trying to, he loves it, right? He loves talking to everybody. And so there's these old ladies who were trying to talk to him. They're like, oh my gosh, Father, I listen to your talks and my grandkids love you. And I was like, oh my gosh, like why are 50 old ladies here? And so they were talking with him and I was like, okay, great. Like I have like 5 minutes to get him where he's supposed to be, but he's still chit-chatting. Like, what the heck? What am I supposed to do? So I'm like, all right, got to get in the zone. I've got to start telling these people to go away, which is really hard. It's like ripping candy from little kids. Like, no one wants to leave Father Mike and no one wants to stop talking to him. So, and then like, disclaimer, it's hard because when you retell stories, I feel like in your head, you're like, oh, I was perfect. Like I did everything right. No, guys, I yelled at these old ladies. I was so upfront because I, not only did I have to get him to where he needed to go, but I had my boss call me and she gave me a phone call. She's like, Anne, where is Father Mike? Like, we need him now. And I was like, oh, geez. Ah, what am I to do? And so I start telling the people to go. I was like, okay, y'all, like you need to leave. You can't see him right now. Like you can see Jesus in the Eucharist, but you can't see Father. And that was so hard. And I start telling these people to go and I'm like, okay, great. Like I'm just like telling them to leave. And these poor old ladies were just, guys, they were so sad. I was like, I'm so sorry, but you can't see him right now. And they're like, oh my gosh. And they like start walking away. And then I get to this moment with Father Mike, right? Like I'm telling these people to leave. And then as I'm like, okay, everyone leave, everyone go. And I like turn and I look to Father Mike and he just goes, Anne, what did you do? I'm like, oh my gosh, Father Mike is mad at me. And it wasn't that he was really mad, but he was like, Anne, like, what did you do? Like, I wanted to talk to them. And I was immediately struck. I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly like the theology major like I am. I was like, this is exactly like Matthew 19:13-14, where Jesus is the story where there's all the disciples and Jesus is preaching and all these kids flock to our Lord and they're running to him and the disciples are like, oh, we got to get him out. And so here, I'll read it for you because it's better than me trying to paraphrase. So it says in Matthew 19:13, then the children were brought to him that he may lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. To such belongs the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And that just really struck me because in that moment, here am I like trying to be a bodyguard, just like the disciples trying to tell the people to leave. But what they want, what they truly wanted in that moment was the Father's love. And I think Father Mike, or any priest for that matter, is a prime example of like this physical manifestation. What we say in persona Christi, that during the sacrifice of the Mass and in confession, that the priest stands in Christ as Christ, as he did for the church. And so what these old ladies were seeking, what all these people were seeking, which I'm like always forgetting, is they just wanted to know the heart of the Father and they wanted to be seen, known, and loved. And that's really all we want at the end of the day. Like, I don't know about you, but if I'm like sitting in my bed exhausted, like I'm just like the only prayer that really stems forward from my heart is, God, like, do you see me? Do you see what day I just went through? Did you know me today? Did you love me? And it's always an abounding yes that he does. And so in this moment, I was just I relearned that lesson, that when Christ says, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to children such as these, is that he really just wants us to go to him and he wants us to run to him. And that can be hard because not only do we see Christ present in priests today, yes, Christ is represented in our priests, but also we see a reflection of the Father's love in our own fathers at home. And that can be hard because the culture that we live in today, like, not only do our own fathers fail us, do they, you know, have us, have, like, our own fathers can fail us at times. and they can not be there for us at times. And just like our priest today, like we know, like we have a broken church, but like we don't leave the church because of bad priests. Like we don't leave because Peter denied Jesus three times. Like we stay because Jesus founded the church, and we stay in this life with these failed relationships because we know of the perfect love of the Father that's always there. And I was reminded of this, of my own father, of how he's a reflection of Christ's love for me, and that like 3 months ago, little story for you, I broke up with my boyfriend, and it was like a need to. It was like, oh my God, like I don't feel peace, I don't feel joy anymore, and that's kind of an indicator of like, it needs to stop, and it's not the fruit of what it needs to be. So I was in my dorm, and I was just having like a bad break, like post-breakup day. Like I was sobbing, and I was just in tears. I was a wreck. Like your girl, I was just like, my life is a mess. I'm a failure, and all these lies just weighed heavy on my heart. And I just like kept repeating like, oh my gosh, like I just messed up. Like I'm never going to find anybody. I'm never going to amount to anything. And it just weighed on my heart so much. And lo and behold, I was like crying and like sobbing in my little puddle of tears. And I look at my phone, my dad's calling me. And I was like, Dad, like the last thing I want to do is talk to my dad. Like that's so embarrassing. I'm just a mess. And I called him, I pick up the phone, and my dad, the great dad that he is. And he goes, Annie, which is what my family calls me at home. He goes, Annie, like I was praying this morning and I feel so called to tell you that I'm going to remind you again that no man is ever going to be perfect for you. No relationship is ever going to be perfect. There's not one person that's going to fulfill you and fulfill your needs. And don't feel pressured to bring the perfect man home, because that's not a possibility. And I think that's really hard, because today we have this idealistic vision of relationships and our friendships that like they will be our all, they will be our person, they will be the one that we go to. And I mean, granted, we do have friendships that are good and are what we need, but it's not perfect. And so my dad, he said that, and then he also said like the only man that's perfect for you, the only one who's going to fulfill your heart is Christ. And that struck me. I was like, guys, I'm already a mess. I'm already crying. I'm already like having a bad day. And for my own father to call me and to remind me of the love to which I was created for was everything. And that's what we seek. That's like, as I said, like we see Christ, we see the Father's love manifested in priests, and we see it in our own fathers. And like my father that day was a reflection of the Father's love for me, that no matter how many times I messed up, that no matter that I like thought I was failing in this relationship, that I had failed, that these lies kept weighing on my heart, that he loved me. And that's a daily reminder we have to remind ourselves, that the Father loves us, that that's the love to which we seek. And it's hard because there's so many things that distract us. Like on days that I'm on Instagram all day, on days that I'm on Twitter all day, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, first of all, I feel sloth. Like that's something I need to work on. Like I need to cut that down. But regardless of that, that there's still like, no matter what I do, no matter what we do, no matter if we fail, if we succeed, that there's still a love that's waiting for us always. And it's constant and it's perfect. And that's so hard for us to understand, because if we fail and if we see failures in our lives, it's really hard to comprehend that. And that's where grace comes in. That's where grace and hope and faith comes in, of these gifts that we have, this gift of understanding. And the other day I was fortunate enough to, let's see, so here I was at another conference, and we have this chapel downstairs. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take like 2 minutes to go downstairs and to pray, because I haven't prayed all day. So I go downstairs. And this conference, which I was working at, was a charismatic conference. And so it was called Power and Purpose. And we were learning about the gifts of the Spirit again. And we were learning about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, because it reminded me of my own prayer of a long time, that like, Lord, like I have... Are you guys all familiar with the charismatic movement a little bit? Yeah, you understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the charisms that he can give you. And so as you know, confirmation, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we have this amazing opportunity that the Spirit can grant us these gifts. And so one gift that I've been praying for a very, very long time is the gift of tongues, in which the gift of tongues, if you don't know, is this gift of the Spirit in which you, when you pray in tongues, like, it's not by my own ability. It's by the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking on behalf of you. And it's a heavenly language. And that's crazy, because when I'm in prayer, I'm kind of frustrated that no words that I ever say will ever be like enough or beautiful for God. Like, I always feel like in prayer, like God, like you're so amazing, and you're the Father of the universe, and all I have to offer you are like my like tears or my laziness or my like rants that go on and on and on. But with this gift that the Holy Spirit can give us, the gift of tongues, is this, it's this heavenly language in which we're once again reminded of our childlike faith that God is calling us to have. We're once again reminded that the kingdom of heaven belongs to children such as us, that God made heaven for us. And so back to the story, here I was going, and I found this chapel. It was a small chapel, and I like sat down and I was like, you know what, Lord, I am so like pissed off at you. Like, I've been praying for the gift of tongues for so long, and I just want to praise you in this divine way. And I want, like, it's truly, I think prayer means more when it gets to the point in which we're ready to yell at God. Like, if you haven't yelled at God in prayer, like, do you really have a relationship with him? Not that you don't need to have this rage, but like with your friend, like, I feel like you get to a point of friendship when you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I think the best thing in a friendship is when you get to go to their house and you just like sit on their couch and just like not do anything and just hang out with them, because they know and they see you and they love you for who you are, regardless of like what image you're trying to put out, but you can just be with them. And so with this prayer that I was praying to Christ, I was like, God, like, I so badly want to pray in tongues, and I want to praise you in this divine way, which we do. We all have the power with the Holy Spirit to ask for that gift. And so I was just, it was such a prayer of the heart. And I was like, Lord, like, I want, like, please, God, like, I want the gift of tongues. Like, if you will it, please let me have it. And all of a sudden in my heart, I get this surge. I just feel in prayer, like, you feel God speaking, and I felt the Spirit saying, speak. And immediately I was like, oh no, I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to speak at all. I do not want to mess up. I don't want to fail. I don't want to, like, that's embarrassing. And it's funny, because here I am, I'm alone in the chapel. No one else is around me. And yet in front of God, my Father, in front of the one who made me, I'm embarrassed to speak, to have the Spirit work through me, because I'm afraid of failure. And then I found that I was like, like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to the point where I think I'm going to receive this gift, and there's this huge lie that I've already messed up. And so I was like, you know what? No, like, I'm going to speak. And I just, there's this phrase in my head, and I didn't understand it. And I started to speak it. So what was happening is God gave me the gift of tongues, and I started to praise him. And it was just this beautiful moment of like, oh my gosh, at the point where I wanted you the most, at the point where I wanted to be loved so much, he's so freely giving that to me, but I'm not able to receive it. Like, yes, I had the gift of tongues, and yes, I was praising him. And it's so beautiful, because especially with this gift, like, guys, I am so happy that he gave it to me, because I want nothing more. The reasons for these gifts is to share them, is to build up the kingdom of God. And so, like, from then on, I have been praying with people. I pray in tongues in the car. And it's this beautiful thing that it's, the words aren't of my own, that I'm continually reminded that I have to be a child before God, before anything else, that these words to which I don't understand, he knows. And he's allowing me to praise him with everything I have and with all my strength. And that's so beautiful, because here I am in my lie that I'm not enough, that I, like, I'm going to mess up, I'm going to make a mistake. And, like, is that not, like, how we live? Because I feel there's some days that I go through that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I am so sick and tired of trying to put on this image that I need to be like a good enough Catholic, that I need to do certain things, that I need to pray a certain way, that I need to have this many things on my resume to just to prove myself to somebody. And that's a load of crap, because what, if anything, what the Father most wants from you is for you to have a relationship with him, is for you to be able to go to him in your mess, in your everything, in your successes, in your best days, and to just have this continued relationship with him. And it's hard. It's definitely a daily thing where I once again recommitted my life to Christ. And it's a funny thing, because yes, have I done it many times? Yeah. But now every day I have to keep reminding myself that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, like, I claim my identity as a daughter of God. I claim my identity as your beloved, because only with that truth that I keep saying can I live the life that God is calling me to live, that you guys can live the life that God's calling you to live. That it's hard, because I feel oftentimes as Catholics, like, we have so many things that are so good. We have camps just like this. We have the rosary. We have mass to go to. But if we're not in a relationship with God the Father, if we're not ready to give our all to him, then what is it for, you know? And it definitely is understanding that, first and foremost, of the Father's love, that, like I said, like, we see the Father's love reflected in our priests. We see it reflected in our own fathers at home. And that can be hard, because since we're made for relationships, we're made for communion, quite often they fail us and they leave us frustrated. They're like, why aren't these people perfect? Well, heck, the only one who is perfect is Christ. And what those failings can do to us is just have us have a greater reliance on our Lord, is to keep running back to him, that this life to which we are called isn't just this like checklist of things of, oh, good job, like, you did it all. No, it's a relationship. If anything, God is truly wanting you to just love him, and he's waiting to bestow his love on you. And if anything, like, I want you guys to know how much the Father loves for you, like how much he's waiting for you to just go to him and just share with him anything. Like, I think the beautiful thing of a prayer life in which we can cultivate is this daily practice of going to prayer. And I think it's really hard, because I remember when I wanted to begin my prayer life, when I wanted to, like, I don't know, like, have a daily commitment to that, I didn't know what that looked like. But what it is more, is showing up. Is showing up to our Lord every day. And if anything else, like, don't picture a checklist. Don't pray because you feel like you have to, but pray because every breath we take, everything that we do is relying on the grace from God. And allowing ourselves to cultivate this life of prayer to which we are called, to understand the Father's love, is just us showing up every day. And it, like, I think when I started, it was 5 minutes a day. And all I could do was show up and be like, God, I'm here. I'm ready for you to love me. And that's all he wants. And so with these stories, with an understanding, hopefully, of the Father's love, I just encourage you guys to take that with you and to take it to prayer. And especially this week, just dive in. Like, you guys can do it. I think there is a huge lie. Whenever I heard talks or whatever, I had people encourage me. I'm like, oh, like, they can do it. Like, they can do it, but I can't. Like, I'm nobody. Like, I don't have any knowledge. I don't have anything. But you can. In Christ, you can. Like, you can become the person who God created you to be. And it's so hard, because we often hear, like, yes, we're made from love, for love, and to love. And yes, that's a deep understanding of our faith. But unless we actually take it to heart, we can't live it out. And it's this continued journey of our faith that, yes, we fail. Yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, he'll be with us in our successes. But if we don't have that relationship with him, then what's it all for? And so, again, in the beginning, as I read from Matthew, the kingdom of heaven belongs to children such as these. Allow yourself to be childlike with Christ. Allow yourself to rely on him for everything, because that's what he yearns for you, is he yearns to have you come to him and for you to love him the way that you love him and the way that only you can live it out. There's a huge lie that, like, we have to fit in this stereotypical Catholic way, but truly God made you so uniquely that I'm never going to speak to a group as like you guys. I'm never going to meet one of you and then go, oh, like, I met someone just like you the other day. Yeah, they could be like you, but they're not you. And have confidence in that you by yourself, God is never going to make anyone like you ever again, period. That's crazy. Do we actually believe that? Do you believe that when you wake up, when you go throughout your day, that God made your life for you and for you to share it and for you to use everything you have, your gifts, your talents, what you're passionate about, to continue to live this life into which he called you to live in love? And what that love is this active gift of self. St. JP2 says that, like, man can only find himself except through, or man cannot find himself except through a sincere gift of himself, that we're each called with this mission to love God in a unique way of giving of ourselves. I don't know what mission you're called to, but I know that you will do such a good job in it. And only you can do it, and God's just waiting for you to run to him, to know his heart. And I just once again encourage you to know the Father's love for you and to be committed to him in the ways that you can. And regardless if you fail or if you don't, I mean, nope, we're going to fail. We are sinners, but we are saved. Know of the Father's love and rest in that. So we're going to close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for this time. Help us to continue to reflect on the words that were spoken and to take it to heart, to know that you made us each individually. You made us as your beloved. You made us so uniquely that we're never going to be like any other person. But Lord, help us to understand the gaze of love that you have for us. And you're just waiting for us to run to you. And when we do run to you, Lord, help us to continue to live a life of grace. And we ask this through Mama Mary. Once again, as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.